Gardening in the Coop is sponsored by the University of Idaho Extension Kootenai County Idaho Master Gardeners Program, which provides gardeners with an opportunity to improve their horticultural knowledge and skills, as well as serve their communities. Certified Idaho Master Gardeners help people grow by answering gardening questions and solving gardening problems with reliable, relevant, and research-based information. For more information, email kootenaiimg@uidaho.edu. You're listening to Gardening in the Coop, the podcast all about growing your best garden. Whether you're new to gardening or you're a lifelong enthusiast, you'll find helpful gardening tips and best practices, along with real-life experiences shared by me, your certified master gardener and host, Candace Godwin. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Gardening in the Coop, and Happy New Year! For me, the start of the new year is a time for new beginnings, and although my garden is buried under a deep layer of snow, and the temperature outside is well below freezing, I'm eager to begin planning for the gardening season ahead. Anyone who thinks gardening begins in the spring and ends in the fall is missing the best part of the whole year. For gardening begins in January with a dream. Now that's a quote of truth if there ever was one. Well said, Miss Josephine Noose. I'm sure by now your mailbox has been overflowing with gardening catalogs. There's nothing I love more than curling up with a big stack of seed catalogs on a cold, snowy day and dreaming about the season to come. I also love walking in the garden when it's snowing. You see, it really doesn't matter what time of year it is. For me, I always find beauty, peace, and solace there in the garden. No winter wind shall chill my gardening heart. I encourage you to explore your own garden or even a park this winter and do a little dreaming of your own. Every gardener knows that under the cloak of winter lies a miracle and a seed that awaits its day in the sun. And what could be more miraculous than growing your own food from seed? In today's podcast, I'm going to share a few of the benefits of growing vegetables from seed and also help you to decipher all that great information that's found on a seed packet. From understanding terms like hybrid to days to maturity, you'll be primed to begin growing from seed. I love growing vegetable plants from seed. In fact, my passion for growing has grown into a business. It's part of what I do here at the Coeur d'Alene Coop. I sell heirloom vegetable plants for those people who don't have time to do it themselves. The satisfaction you get from planting one tiny seed, watching it grow, blossom, and then bear fruit that you'll harvest and eat is truly one of the greatest pleasures of gardening. For me, each seed holds a promise of a beautiful heirloom tomato, a bushel of beans, or maybe it's even the great pumpkin. I never get tired of seeing those first tiny shoots of green emerge from the soil. And starting vegetable plants from seed is fairly easy, even for beginners. It doesn't require a great deal of equipment, and it's so rewarding to harvest those fruits from the plants that you started yourself. With garden centers and nurseries full of vegetable transplants, why would you want to grow your own plants from seed? Well, that's a very good question, and I have some good answers. But first, let me be clear that seed transplants purchased from nurseries definitely have a place in the garden. For example, some vegetables just aren't that easy to grow from seed. Now, I can tell you from experience that peppers can be very temperamental to start from seed. And some herbs, especially rosemary, can take forever to germinate and grow. Sometimes you're just better off purchasing transplants to get your garden underway. And starting from seed also requires some pre-planning and timing. Again, for example, tomatoes are usually started from seed indoors about 6 to 8 weeks before they can be transplanted outside. Now, if you miss the seed starting window, you're much better off purchasing seedlings from your local nursery than trying to start seeds too late in the growing season. By all means, I encourage you to shop and support your local nurseries and garden centers. Now, however, growing from seed offers several great benefits when compared to purchasing seedling transplants. First, you have more choices in what to grow. Open any seed catalog and you'll find hundreds of vegetable seed choices, literally from artichoke to zucchini. And many catalogs will offer several cultivars of each vegetable. Who knew that there could be so many different types of tomatoes, like 7,500, or carrots, or lettuce? By contrast, the garden centers will often have a limited selection of vegetable types, and those plants that they do stock are usually the most common and those that sell the best. You just have more variety when you grow from seed. And that gives you the opportunity to expand your growing horizon by trying something new or different, like growing purple snap peas or maybe a white tomato. And just as I mentioned that some plants are difficult to grow from seed and should probably be purchased as transplants, there are other vegetable plants that thrive best when grown directly from seed since they don't transplant very well. Now, this includes most root crops like carrots and beets, but also corn and beans. Many of these vegetables are directly sown into the garden once the soil warms. Another benefit from growing from seed is that you have more control. And it's not often that you can get control in the garden. But when you start vegetables from seed, you are in control of your growing environment. From the seed stock that you choose, be that organic or conventional seed, or choosing an heirloom or hybrid variety, to the types of soils and fertilizers that you use to grow the plant. You get to choose how that plant is grown from the very beginning, and when it comes to harvest time, you'll know exactly what went into each vegetable that you grew. Perhaps the greatest benefit from growing from seed is that it's a money saver. And who doesn't want to save some money? Even with the current high demand for seed, a seed packet is less expensive to purchase than seedling transplants. The average cost of a seedling transplant is around $4, and that's just for one plant. Now, the average cost of a packet of seeds is about $3, and most packets contain enough seed for dozens of plants, and probably more seed than you'll use in a season. With seeds, you'll be able to grow plants this year and have seed left over to plant again next year. So now that you know a few good reasons why you should grow from seed, let's take a look at some of that information you'll find on a seed packet or in a catalog and decipher what it all means. Seed packet and catalog plant descriptions are chock full of great information. You can find just about everything you need to know about the plant listed there. But some terms may not be that clear. Let's take a look at a few of these to help you make the best decisions about what seeds to purchase for your garden. So what's in a name? Let's start with the name of the plant, or names. Typically, you'll find the cultivar, or common name, of the plant, along with the botanical name and the variety listed on the packet. As you've probably discovered, plants can have several common names. For example, green onions are also known as scallions or bunching onions. These different common names come about based on language, culture, and region, and it can be confusing. That's where botanical names come in. These are the scientific names of plants that are accepted by scientists no matter what language they speak or where in the world they're located. Our green onions, scallions, and bunching onions are all of the same plant, with the botanical name of Allium fistulosum. Three different common names, but one botanical name tells us they're all the same plant. Okay, moving on, next is the plant variety and cultivar. Now, a variety is a naturally occurring selection within a species. For example, tomato varieties include beefsteak, canning, or cherry types. A cultivar is the result of human intervention through plant breeding. Each variety may have many different cultivars. The beefsteak variety of tomato includes the cultivars of Mortgage Lifter and Brandywine, plus about 1,000 more. You may also see the word organic, along with the United States Department of Agriculture certified organic seal. If so, then the seed is organic. Certified organic seed is produced from plants that are grown under the strict organic growing protocols mandated by the USDA. Organic seed growers rely on healthy soil and integrated pest management to produce seed crops, and they're very limited in their use of fertilizer and pesticides. If you don't see the USDA organic seal, the seed is conventional. It's grown with conventional farming practices that rely on synthetic fertilizers and pesticides to achieve that seed crop. Choosing organic or conventional seed is a matter of preference and economics. Organic seed tends to be a bit more costly, but not all varieties of plants are available as organic seed stock. If you'd like more information about organic seed, check out the show notes for this episode. A few more terms that you're likely to see listed are open pollinated, heirloom, and hybrid. These are important to understand, especially if you're planning to save seed from your garden. Open pollinated plants produce seeds that will breed true. This means the seed will produce plants and fruit that will be fairly identical to the parent plant. Seeds can be saved year after year. So for seed saving, make sure you are growing open pollinated plants. With open pollinated seeds being saved year after year, it stands to reason that heirloom seeds are also open pollinated and produce true seed. Heirlooms are simply a variety that has a history of being passed down through the generations, just like an heirloom piece of jewelry or furniture. Many heirloom varieties have been around for over 100 years. And lastly, you may see the word hybrid or the symbol F1 on the seed packet. This denotes a hybrid variety. By law, seed companies are required to include the word hybrid or F1 on any packet of hybrid seed. Many heirlooms were lost when seed companies began to develop hybrids in the 1930s through the 1950s. Seed companies work through the years of intense plant breeding to develop desirable attributes such as improved disease resistance, improved yields, and transportability. One of the very first hybrids was Burpee's Big Boy Tomato. It was released in 1949, and consumers immediately fell in love with the large, round, smooth red tomato. It was so different than the misshapen heirloom tomatoes of the time. After that, everybody wanted to grow hybrids. Hybrids are highly proprietary to the seed company that developed them, and it ensures that the company will have return customers. Due to the extensive crossbreeding of hybrids, the resulting plant grown from hybrid seed will be nothing like the parent. Since hybrids don't produce true seed, consumers have to purchase new seed year after year. And let's clear up another point of confusion. A hybrid is not a genetically modified organism. Hybrids are produced naturally through plant breeding and cross-pollination. GMOs are genetically modified and do not occur naturally in nature. A genetically modified organism is the result of genes from one species being artificially implanted into the DNA of another. The combined genetics would never exist naturally. Corn and soybeans are the two most genetically modified vegetables grown commercially. And it's really important to note that GMO seed is not available for purchase to the general public. Wow, and that's just the information on the front of the seed packet. We'll take a look at a few more common items on that packet after this brief message from the Coeur d'Alene Coop.
It's not too early to start planning your garden, and the Coeur d'Alene Coop can help. Visit our website for helpful gardening information from seed starting to harvesting. And if you live in northern Idaho or eastern Washington, shop our online plant store for more than 80 varieties of open pollinated and heirloom vegetable plants, many grown from organic seed. Shop now and pick up your plants in May from the Coeur d'Alene Coop Garden. Find the link in the show notes below.
Okay, now let's flip that seed packet over and discover a few more helpful items. Here you'll probably find a colorful map that tells you when to sow the seed. These sowing maps are based on the USDA Plant Hardiness Zone maps. When selecting plants for your garden, you want to make sure that they'll grow and produce a harvest. The USDA zone maps are very useful, but I also recommend contacting your local county extension office to confirm your hardiness zone and how many frost-free growing days your area has. In North Idaho, where I live, we're listed as hardiness zone number 6, but really, we're much closer to zone 5 and have a relatively short growing season that's about 120 frost-free days from mid-May to mid-September. Now, just for contrast, Sacramento, California has a growing season that's nearly 300 days long. Oh my, wouldn't that be nice? Oh well. Anyhow, for my area, I want to select vegetable varieties that will mature within 90 days or less. Now, I know from experience that if I plant a vegetable crop that takes longer than 90 days to mature, there's a really good chance that I'm not going to get much of a harvest. Or I'll have to employ some season-extending techniques to get that harvest. Now, it's not impossible to grow a variety that takes longer to mature in a short season area, but it involves more work to get that harvest. And after all, that's why we garden. In fact, I try to plant as many early varieties as possible. These types usually mature and produce a crop in under 70 days. Early varieties are also a great choice if you plan on succession gardening, that is, planting one crop after another throughout the season. Now let's get back to that seed packet. Once you know the length of your growing season, you can choose the appropriate variety based on the plant's days to maturity. And that brings us up to the most confusing term on the seed packet, days to maturity. What does it mean, and when exactly do you start counting those days? Days to maturity means the number of days that it will take for a plant to produce a harvest. Now that's pretty simple and straightforward, but do keep in mind it's a general approximation of harvest time and weather and other factors can affect it. So when exactly does one start counting those days? Is it from the time you plant the seeds, or is it when the seeds emerge? Is it the same for seeds started indoors as those that are direct sown into the ground? And why do some plant descriptions have days to maturity listed from transplanting? How do you figure this all out? Well, if you're confused, you're not alone. A few years ago, I wrote a blog post about how to determine days to maturity, and it's still the most read blog post on my site. It's an important concept to understand since it impacts the timing of seed starting, planting, and most importantly, harvesting. To best understand how days to maturity is calculated, let's sort plantings into two categories, direct sown seed and seedling transplants. Direct sown seeds include any seed that you plant directly into the soil of your garden, such as beans or carrots. For direct sown seeds, the days to maturity begins when the seedling's first true leaves appear, and that can be anywhere from a day to a week. For example, Blue Lake green beans mature in about 60 days. Now, beans usually have produced their first set of true leaves within a day or so of germination. Therefore, you could expect to begin harvesting beans from these plants in about 2 months. The important distinction here is that you're looking for the first set of true leaves, not those baby or cotyledon leaves that first appear. For seedling transplants, and here I'm talking about those young vegetable starts either purchased from a nursery or that have been started from seed indoors, the days to maturity for these types begin when the seedlings are planted into the ground. This is where you'll see the days to maturity from transplanting listed on the packet or in the plant description. For these plants, the counting begins once the seedling has been planted. I think most of the confusion is around plants that are started from seed indoors. It seems like their days to maturity would be counted the same as a seed that is direct sown outside, but it isn't. As with transplants, days to maturity for seedlings started indoors begins when they are transplanted into the garden and not when they get their first true leaves. I hope that clears up some confusion about this term. And the good news is there's more information on this topic in the show notes. And that brings us to the final item on the seed packet, and that's the pack four and sell-by dates. When growing from seed, you want to use the freshest seed available to ensure good germination. Just like the food in your pantry, the seeds in your garden shed have a shelf life. Every seed packet has a pack four date stamped on it. When purchasing seed, you'll want to make sure that the seed you receive is fresh and packed for that year's growing season. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to go out and buy a new seed each year. In fact, if you've been gardening for any length of time, you probably have amassed a collection of partially used seed, or maybe you save seed from your garden plants. Seeds that are stored correctly in moisture-proof containers and kept in a cool location with low humidity can remain viable for anywhere from 2 to 6 years or more. And again, this depends on the variety. When held in cold storage, such as being refrigerated or frozen, the expected seed life can be extended to 20 years or more. Now, no gardener wants to spend time and effort planting seeds that won't germinate. But if you're like me, you hate the thought of tossing out any seed. Save yourself from frustration. Check the seed packing dates and do a simple germination test prior to planting older seed. While the weather outside is still cold, you could be experiencing the thrill of seeing tiny seedlings emerge from the soil. And what a nice treat on a cold winter's day. So that's a quick overview of some of the important information you'll find listed on a seed packet or in a catalog. If you want more information about any of the topics I mentioned today, check out the link for my garden seed series in the show notes for this episode. You'll find information and how-tos on seed starting, organic seeds, days to maturity, seed starting mistakes to avoid, and so much more. Well, that's it for this episode of Gardening in the Coop. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next time, and if you like what you hear, click on the subscribe button below. Until then, remember, life's a garden. Dig it!
Thanks for listening to Gardening at the Coop, the podcast all about growing your best garden. For more gardening information, visit us online at thecoeurdelainecoop.com or on Facebook and Instagram.